Congregation, let us turn now to the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the Epistle of James and the chapter 1. The Epistle of James, the chapter 1, and reading the chapter in your hearing, this is the Word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear His holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred Word. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. This is the word of God. May the Lord grant his own blessing upon the public reading, and then the ministry, the exposition of his most holy, infallible, inerrant and sacred word, all for the glory of his name and to the everlasting good of our never-dying souls. Congregation, turning once again your prayerful attention to the words which I read in your hearing a few moments ago from the Epistle of James, the chapter 1, with the Lord's gracious enabling this morning, I seek to take my text, the words spoken in the verse 12. James chapter 1, the verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James chapter 1 and the verse 12. Now, first of all, before we begin to consider the words that are before us, let me say, first of all, that these are the Spirit-inspired words of Almighty God. These are not the words or the thoughts of James, but these are the words which God has given to him. Therefore, they are truth, and they are for our instruction in righteousness, that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. James was writing in a period when God's children, we note in the verse 1, the 12 tribes were scattered abroad. There was great persecution to new converts, those that have come to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ, not only the Jews, but many Gentiles who had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They were facing persecution from the Jews, from the Romans, from all round about them. They suffered many, many things, including the very penman here himself, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, James. In the verse 2, he says, "Brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers or many temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And let me say, first of all, that every Christian, indeed, as the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us in Matthew chapter 5, every one of his children will face trials in this life. Everyone, including the very man on the cross, every Christian is tried and tested. His faith is tried and is tested, and he shall come forth, tested and tried and proved to be a child of God. As I said, even the man upon the cross, dying next to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was tested. He was only a very new Christian convert coming to the Lord Jesus. But would he endure his trial there upon the cross, having believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? That very promise that day that the Lord Jesus Christ would meet him in paradise, he was tried. Did he have false expectations that the Lord was going to somehow let him down from the cross? No, the cross was his means to glory. That through that death of our Lord Jesus especially, he would meet the Lord in just a few hours. He, having died as a sinner, but having put his trust in the friend of sinners, would meet the Lord. And every Christian has his cross. Every Christian has his trial. However long we might live, however short we might live. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, the verse 22. "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Now, you notice in the verse 12, James doesn't say, if a man will be tried, but rather he says, when he is tried. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried. Every Christian will be tried. Now this morning, what I want to do is to consider this blessedness. And I hope to show you at least that there are three parts to it. And you'll understand what I'm saying once I begin to open it up. I want to speak first of all about the first part of being blessed. The Greek word here is the word makarios. But if you go over to the Hebrew in the Old Testament, it's not that it means something else, but we need to understand what it is to be blessed first of all, before we can begin to understand who this man is that endures the trial. And so I want to speak about this blessedness, God's divine blessing. That's really what it is. I know the word makarios means joy, happiness, but it's far more than that. It means to be blessed of God. When we consider the Beatitudes, in the Latin the word is beatus. It is a divine blessing of God. It is because God has had mercy on a soul that person is now blessed of God. God has shown favor. We think of David's words in the Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. The Lord blesses some, and he doesn't bless others. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. We are not surprised that the Lord should hate Esau. We are worthy of God's wrath. But we marvel, do we not, that God should love us, that God should love Jacob. It is to have God's unmerited favor bestowed upon us. This is really where the blessing begins. This is the first and primary meaning of the word. It is to understand that by nature we are cursed. We are cursed because we're in Adam. We fell in Adam. We're lost in Adam. And in Adam we die. But in Jesus Christ, all shall be made alive. All that are his. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. But that iniquity was imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and his righteousness is made over to them. It is a double imputation. And we marvel at this, do we not? We who are wrath deserving of God's everlasting wrath, God poured out his wrath upon his dear Son. It's a blessing, isn't it, to be here this morning, and to know that your sins are forgiven, that Christ has given to you his righteousness, it's made over to your account. And this is really where spiritual life begins. So this is the first blessedness that I want us to think about. Well, we've thought about it, but that is where the life, the spiritual life begins. This is where the Christian begins his life. A man by nature is cursed, he's miserable, and he's ruined apart from Jesus Christ. But now we move to the second part of this blessedness. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trial. This blessedness is seen in this man's life because he endures the trial, but it flows out of the first. It flows out of our union in Jesus Christ. It flows out of our relationship with him. Christ Jesus has come to live in us. He's come to, as it were, bring the reign of grace. Romans 5:21, we're now under grace. And Christ now lives in us. The life that we live by faith in the Son of God that loved us and gave himself for us. And so it's this, first of all. And there are six parts I want to bring to this second blessedness. It's enduring temptation or trial. And then we'll consider, last of all, the final blessedness. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trial. The Greek word used here is the word periasmos. Now, in the verse 12, it's not quite used the same as it is in the following verse, where he says here in the verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. This word temptation, as I said, that word periasmos in the verse 13, James writes by the Spirit, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now we're reminded here by the Spirit through James that God does not tempt the soul of his people. Neither can he be tempted. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said, the prince of the power of the air cometh but hath nothing in me. There was nothing in him. He cannot be tempted, neither does he tempt his children. But here in the verse 12, the idea of the word tempted is that God will bring us through trials. It's a different usage of the word. And God does bring trials upon his people. And God will sanctify each trial to us. And we must pray that God will sanctify the trials to us. How is it when somebody becomes a Christian, they begin to experience things, difficulties that they never experienced before? Well, firstly, the world is now in opposition to you. The devil, your arch enemy, hates your soul and hates any semblance of Christ in you. And he will come and he will tempt you. The world, the flesh, and the devil, he will tempt. But God does not tempt. But God does put us through present trials and difficulties. They're ordered for us. Remember what the Apostle Paul said as he was writing from prison in Rome, as he wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 1:9, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. We believe that God is in absolute control of every situation, every circumstance of life, and he is ordering all things for us. And this is why James says in the verse 2 of this chapter, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or trials. The Christian doesn't despair. He knows he has a God who is ordering, controlling all things. Ephesians 1:11. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Nothing happens without God's decree. And therefore we are joyful, as James says in the verse 2, because God has a purpose in it. We have joy, which is far beyond what the world calls happiness. Charles Spurgeon said, happiness is that earthly word. Joyfulness is that heavenly word. Happiness is a rippling stream. Blessedness is a deep fountain of life. And it's true, isn't it? The joy, it's really based on our relationship with God and what we know about him. That he is sovereign, that he is in control, and that we are dearly beloved of God. He's too good to be unkind. He's too wise, isn't he, to err. He is ordering things. Paul could say with certainty in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And what is his purpose? That we should be conformed to the image of his Son. All of the trials, all of the difficulties that we are facing in our lives, God is fashioning and purposing that we should be conformed to the image of his Son. We are being refined as one would refine gold in the crucible. The dross is removed. The heat is then again placed upon that gold and it's refined again. God is fitting us as vessels unto glory, preparing us for that day when we shall meet our Lord Jesus. The second thing is, it's a blessed thing because the fact that one is enduring the trial assures them that God is doing a work in their heart because they are a child of God. That's a blessed thing to know, isn't it? Even in the trial, I'm a child of God. This thing's happened to me because I am His child. I am His child. The proof that my sins are forgiven is knowing that I have now a life of faith. I believe these things to be true, and I know God's power through the trial, and I know His presence in the trial. Sometimes, no doubt, it will be a chastening. God brings a difficulty because of a chastening. Not always. But God chastens His children. We're reminded of that in Hebrews 12, the verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? It's precisely because you are a child of God, a son, a daughter, that God is chastening you. It's a good thing to be chastened when we have erred. And so that we need to receive it as a son, lovingly. It comes, the stroke of God's chastening comes from a loving hand. But thirdly, we also are blessed in the trial because we can know His favor in the trial. We can know His approval as we go through the trial. Remember what we read in the Psalm 30 in the verse 5, in His favor is life. In His favor is life. As I go through it, I don't frown, I don't complain, I don't murmur against God, but I bow to it and say, Lord, Thou knowest best. And so I bow to it. And even in the trial, I therefore know God's smile and approbation upon my life. And that is a wonderful and a blessed thing to experience, the joy of God's favor upon us in the trial. Consider Job, such an example. Yes, Job had certainly his moments. He was not without his flaws. But Job, what did he say? He said, He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Job knew this. Though he lost 10 children in a day, though he lost every livestock that he had, he even lost his health. He said this, He performeth the thing that is appointed unto me, and many such things are with him. The blessing of knowing that my trial is in the hands of God. In James 5, James alludes to Job, and he says this, James 5:11, Behold, we count them happy which endure. And it's the same word used here in the verse 12. And then he says, Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Not only did he know the blessedness of going through that trial and God's favor, but you know the Lord proved himself to be very merciful to Job, while it seemed to be a hard thing for him. We are told that he was blessed twofold at the end. Job was wonderfully blessed. But fourthly, as we endure the trial, the blessing is this, that the trial makes us stronger. It indeed makes us stronger. Job in Job 17:9, he's just answering his friends, his three friends that are seeking to have a word to him, to instruct him. He says this, The righteous, and here he's speaking about himself, not that he was righteous in and of himself, but justified, made righteous. He says, The righteous also shall hold on his way, And he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. The righteous shall hold on his way. That's God's way. The way that God has taught his people, and it becomes their way. And he that hath clean hands shall be made stronger and stronger. You see, the key as we endure is to keep the clean hands, not to be defiled with sin. And he that has clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger. And was Job not stronger through the trial? Yes, he was. And we must remember this. Perhaps you're going through a very sore trial at the moment. Remember this. The Christian's faith is never destroyed by the trial. Rather, it is strengthened in the trial. Make us stronger. Should we be surprised by trials? Peter says, no, no. No, no. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:12, Beloved, think it not a strange thing concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. He says, don't consider it a strange thing. It's normal. And he says, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the refiner's fire. He is perfecting his people. And he knows the way that we take. We may look with Job to the left, to the right. We may look behind. We may not see him, as it were. We may not see his hand, but he knows the way that we take. He knows the things that we are feeling. And it's not as if God is asking us to be without feelings. And you might be here saying, well, you expect me to be without feelings. I'm going through this difficult trial. No, no, I'm not expecting. What I'm saying is trust him. Trust him. Remember what Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that is what God asks of us. Trust him. In 1 Peter 1:6, we read, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. There's the key. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials. How many trials does the Christian face? Manifold. Many. This is our lot for this life. And there's a reason for it. God is proving himself and he is perfecting us. How else could God perfect us but through the trial? They are necessary. They are needful. We face every kind of trial. The church may face many trials. These are not just problems. The world faces problems. But we may face very fiery trials, as Peter says. But they are deliberately sent to confirm that our faith is real, to perfect us, to sanctify us. George Whitefield said, we glorify God in the fire when we say, Lord, don't let the fire go out till it has purged away all my dross. Then we glorify God when we wish for the good of the fire, not to have it extinguished, when the soul can say, here I am, my God. Do with me as seemeth good in thy sight. May we have the Spirit of grace to say such things and to trust him. Trials will only sanctify us and purify us. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Then fifthly, we also know the blessing of God's presence in the trial. That's another blessing we often don't think about. But how often it is the case when we go through the trial, we feel God's presence as never before. We draw closer to him. We begin to pray. We begin to read our Bibles. We begin to search our hearts as we have never done so before. And the Lord's doing this that we might draw nearer to Him. That's always a blessing, isn't it? And He has promised to always be with us. In Isaiah 43:2, the Lord says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God, I will strengthen thee." And how wonderful it is, isn't it, to know not only the presence of God, but the strength of God. And we never thought we could face it. But how these trials are preparing us for probably the greatest trial we will experience in our life. And what is that? Death, which is the last enemy. And we can say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? My Lord has conquered these things, and He will be with me. And He will meet me on the other side." Dear friends, this is the kindness of God. That we go through trials. That when we face another, we may face it with confidence and joy, knowing He is with us. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. We endure because He endured such opposition from men. Remember, the Lord has said to all the churches in the book of the Revelation, "He that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh." And we will overcome. Because John writes in 1 John 5:4, "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Even our faith. Now, it's not faith of ourselves, is it? It's the gift of God. This is why Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:5 that we're kept by the power of God through faith, that gift that He has given. And it's not so much, as it were, our faith that is being refined, but we. It's our faith that is being perfected, our trust in the Lord. He's given the seeds of faith. They're there in us. And it's we that we're being changed. Being changed. But we shall finally be changed when we meet that final trial. And we say this with James, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." You know, Job endured, didn't he? He certainly endured. And we say Job had three blessings. Before the great trial that he went through, he was blessed. He knew God, and God blessed him abundantly in the way that God saw fit. He was also blessed in the trial. But after the trial, the Lord repaid to him twofold. But even after that, what did he have? Death. But what comes after death? Eternal life. The child of God will always be blessed. Blessed is he, is the man that endureth temptation. And all of this, you see, is proving that we are the child of God. And we will have our veil of tears in this life. It is to be expected. But you will be blessed. Remember in the Psalm 84, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a well." And then we read, "The rain also filleth the pools." How we may fill pools with many tears, but we'll drink from those pools. And then we read, "They go from strength to strength. Each one of them in Zion appeareth before God." Each one. We do believe, brethren, and we hold to it tenaciously, to the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Blessed is the man that endureth. The Lord Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. The quitters never were the children of God. But when we go into sin, and it's the devil that'll come to us and he'll say, oh, it's just a little sin. Oh, it's just a little one. It doesn't matter. Nobody will notice. And then you fall into that sin and you commit that sin, and how your heart is grieved. And the first thing he does is he says, you see, you're not a Christian. You're not a child of God. He not only leaves being the tempter, but he becomes the great accuser of the brethren. And how do we overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb. We plead Christ's blood. And by the word of our testimony, we will overcome him. The world, the flesh, and the devil. But lastly, the everlasting blessedness. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. What is it that brings us through not only our faith, but we love him? What is always true, with the breastplate of righteousness, there is faith and love. These two are always hand in hand. There can never be faith without love. We love him. Because he first loved us. And we go through the trial. Because he loved us. Gave himself. We love him. And we want to please him. It is reputed that James was clubbed to death. Some say he was thrown off the top of the church roof. But consider the Apostle Paul. Consider Peter. Consider them all. They all faced horrific trials. But they all endured to the end. Peter perhaps thought he had never endured, but the Lord gave him grace. The Lord gave him strength. Paul perhaps thought he wouldn't, but he endured to the end. The Apostle Paul, writing from prison, knowing that his time was at hand, knowing that his execution would soon take place, he said this in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the last, that day, and not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We love his appearing to them that love him. Oh, how we cannot wait to meet the one who died for us. And again I say, the last trial is death. The last trial is death, and we shall all, unless the Lord appears, we shall all have to go through that. But the Lord, has he not said, I will be with thee? If you're going through a trial now, I tell you this, the Lord's preparing you for that great trial. But you know what, when you go through that, you'll know his presence. It will be a peaceful death. You will have the assurance that he's been with you throughout your life. Child of God, he will not forsake you at the last hour. He will be with you as you go through the valley of the shadow of death. And he will see you on the other side. You know, these same words were given to the church at Smyrna, where there was so much persecution. Revelation 2:10. The Lord Jesus, writing to the church there, says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And that's figurative language. And then he said this, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. It's that same crown. Even everlasting life. And you know, when we get our crowns, we'll cast them before him. And we'll say, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thee be glory, honor, and praise. Friend, when we die, the Lord goes with us. May he be with you now, even to the valley of the shadow of death. What can death do? It is that instrument that brings us into the immediate presence of God. Christ has conquered death. He has died for our sins. We shall meet him and with gladness. The Lord Jesus said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That is, experience the second death. But we shall receive this crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Oh, let us love him. So good is he, even in the trial. May the Lord bless his word. Encourage your hearts and give great praise to him, even this day. Amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.